Hey guys, so good to be with you once again today. I'm so excited that you're tuning in today, wherever you're tuning in from, because I believe God has a powerful word for us today. He's been challenging me and convicting me with what we're going to talk about here this week. And honestly, I know that every time we open God's word, there's an opportunity, and really there should be every time we open his word, life change happening. But I think what we're going to talk about today, from a practical perspective, could just revolutionize your relationships and the way that you interact with people in a way that maybe nothing else in your life possibly could. And so as we begin today, I want to start with this question. Have you ever had a moment where you started to speak and words came out of your mouth and you immediately thought, I would love to be able to just pull those words back in so that nobody out there would ever hear what I just said, right? Like, I should go on a no sugar diet. I've said those words before. It'll be easy. It won't be that hard. And then literally 2 days later, I'm having like massive sugar withdrawal. I'm literally running around looking for the sugar bowl so I can lick my finger and dip it in there and, you know, pretend like it's Fun Dip, like I'm 7 years old again. Or we should build that furniture from IKEA. It'll be fun, right? And then 10 hours later, you're halfway done with the project, you've still got 50,000 bolts, nuts, screws, whatever, laying over here. It looks nothing like the instructions, which is just a picture on a box, right? I'm pretty sure, I don't have verifiable proof of this, but I'm pretty sure, like 99% sure, that the reason it took Noah so long to build the ark is because the instructions came from IKEA. Can I get an amen? But here's the truth. Our words, the words that come out of my mouth so often, they are damaging, they are destructive, right? They do harm, they hurt people. And the struggle for me in my life to keep my tongue and my mouth under control, it is so very real. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think when it comes to your life, if you really think about it, most of the struggle that you have in your relationships, it comes from the struggle that we have to keep control of our mouth and our tongue. And I think you know this to be true. I mean, think about your life. Think about as you look back over the past years of your life. I guarantee you, every one of us, we can think of a moment where we said something that we really regret, or somebody said something to us that we still remember. See, that's the thing about words. Like, that's the powerful thing about words, and sometimes the destructive thing about words is that once they're out there, like, there's no taking them back. They're out there for good, right? And even a small thing, like one small word, can have devastating consequences. One word of gossip, one lie, even the tone of how we speak to somebody can do so much damage. And here's the thing that just is so maddening and frustrating for me personally, is that I know that. I know the power of words. I know how destructive they can be. I know how they've hurt me, and I know how I've hurt other people with my words, and how I've done damage in my relationships with my words. And yet, over and over and over again, I continue to struggle with the same problem. I continue to struggle with controlling this tiny little part of my body. And it's having devastating consequences on not just like myself, but everything around me and every relationship that I have. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to stop and pause, and I want to think about this, because I think it's so easy to kind of go through life and not really think about our words, because we speak so many words a day, right? I think guys speak like 25,000 words a day, and ladies speak like 30,000 words a day, right? We speak so many words a day that we don't really think about each word that we say. And what I want to do is I just want to stop for a moment. And I want us to be honest with ourselves. Like as we get kind of started and get going here, I want to just stop and I want to look in the mirror and can we just admit that maybe, just maybe, we have a problem with our tongues, with our mouths, with controlling the things that come out of our mouth. Because really, this is the start of being able to do anything about this. We have to admit that we've got a problem. We've got to kind of humble ourselves. But once we do that, God can do some amazing things. And that's really what I'm hoping for today. As your pastor, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that I love you and I care about you and I want you to live the best life you can possibly live. I want you to live a life that honors God and honors people. And it's so difficult and so hard to do that when we don't have a hold of our tongue and a control over our mouth. And so that's really what this message is about. It's my own conviction, what God has been doing in my own life and teaching me about my own words and how damaging they can be in my relationships. And it's my hope to just kind of encourage you and challenge you today to think about this and maybe take some action steps that will help you. Honestly, I believe this. Change your relationships forever. And so today we're going to be in the book of James. We're continuing in our study of James and this series we're in called The Struggle is Real. And we're going to be looking at the struggle of our mouth and our tongue and what James has to say about it. He has so much to say about our tongue and about our mouth. We're going to actually be in chapter 3 now, verse 2, starting in verse 2. And let's go ahead and just dive in and let's see what James has to say about our tongue and about our mouth. This is what he says. James 3, beginning in chapter 2, or verse 2. He says, "We all stumble in many ways." I'm going to stop right there. He says, "We all stumble in many ways." And so first and foremost, he wants us to know, guys, listen, none of y'all are perfect. Y'all messed up. Every single one of you, and that includes your words, that includes your mouths. You got problems, guys, and I just want to make sure you understand that none of us here are perfect. And no matter how hard we try, we will never be perfect with our words. It is impossible, as we are going to kind of discover even further here as we go through this text. So he says, we all stumble, we all fall, we all mess up. But then he adds this on. He says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So we all stumble in many ways, but don't miss this. But anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. In other words, but if you can keep control of your mouth, of this tiny little thing right here, you are actually able to keep your entire body out of trouble. If you can keep your mouth out of trouble, he says, you will actually keep your entire body out of trouble. Your body here refers to like your whole being, everything about you. And what he's really trying to say is this, is that your mouth is so powerful. This is how powerful your mouth is, that if you can control it, and if you want to stay out of trouble, you will control your mouth. It is incredibly powerful. James says then, let me illustrate. He's not done. He goes on, he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. And so he gives us this imagery of a horse. Now, a horse is a massive, massive animal. It's huge, right? They can weigh over 2,000 pounds. And so you would think it would be incredibly difficult to control a horse because of how big it is and how powerful they are. And yet, here's what James says. If you want to control a horse, all you have to do is put this tiny little bit into its mouth. And once you do that, you can turn that horse's head whatever direction you want it to go. And that horse will go in that direction. A tiny little bit can control a huge horse. But then he goes on. He doesn't just stop there with that illustration. He says, okay, maybe that one doesn't work for you. How about ships? How about boats? He says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And so he says, think about a ship, a massive ship. Ships in those days could hold 200 to 300 passengers. And yet that ship was controlled by this tiny little rudder, this insignificant tiny little piece of wood, but it had huge influence on that ship. It had huge influence on the direction that that ship would go. And so James says, check this out. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. Just like a bit is this tiny little thing that can control a horse, and a rudder is this tiny little thing that can control the direction of a massive ship, he says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. The tongue is this tiny little thing, but it has tremendous, tremendous power. It has tremendous influence over the direction and the quality of your life. This is what James is trying to get us to understand. He wants us to see the significance of our tongue, the impact that our mouth and the words that we speak are going to have on our life. He's just simply saying this, guys, pay attention. It might be small, it might be this little thing, but you need to give this little thing a huge amount of attention in your life. And I think this is one of the challenges for us, and I know it is for me. It's this small thing, and we use it over and over and over again, up to 30,000 times a day, and so we stop paying attention to it. It's almost like it becomes white noise. And what James is saying is, if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to have problems. James says, don't believe me? Listen to this. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Consider what a great fire is set ablaze by just a tiny little spark. You know, in 1871, there was a fire in Chicago, and it started with this tiny little lantern that they believe was kicked over, actually, by someone's cow. And that little tiny lantern went on to do just unbelievable damage in the city of Chicago. It's estimated that $200 million worth of damage was done. At that time, that's just an astronomical figure. 17,000 structures, buildings were destroyed. Over 300 people lost their lives. Why? Because of one tiny little flame, one spark, right? Think of a forest fire that is raging out west, right? That forest fire most likely was started by one little campfire, one little match, one little cigarette butt. One tiny little spark is all it takes to ignite a flame that destroys millions and millions of acres, destroys property, destroys lives and homes. And what James is trying to get us to understand here is that the tongue, in the exact same way, is like that spark. It ignites devastation in our lives if we are not careful and if we are not paying attention to it. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Your tiny little tongue, my tiny little tongue, he says, is a world of evil. It has the potential to do so much damage. This tiny little thing. He goes on to say it corrupts the whole body. He says it sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. It doesn't just corrupt your mouth, right? When we speak words that are destructive, it doesn't just destroy my mouth, right? It destroys my entire being. My whole life is impacted by the words that I speak, right? Relationships are destroyed. Divorces occur. Jobs are lost. Wars have been started over a simple word, over a poorly worded phrase. So many damaging things have happened in this world. And what James is just, he's begging us to understand is this concept. Like, just see it, guys. Just recognize the damage that it can have. Because it is only, and I believe this, for me, it's only when I start to think about the damage that might occur from the words that I begin to say that I'm actually able to kind of like stop for a second and go, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that. Because most of the time, I'm not thinking about the damage. I'm just thinking about what I want to say. James is saying, no, you need to always be on your guard. You need to always be thinking about the words that you speak and what might occur from those words. He goes on to say this, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. He uses this imagery, this illustration of a caged animal, right? This wild beast, right? He says every animal on the planet can be tamed, right? Every single animal on the planet, if you work hard enough, you can tame it, you can cage it, you can kind of domesticate it, right? But you cannot tame the tongue. It is impossible. And so what he's really trying to get us to understand is this, is that you have to be on your guard all the time, 24/7. Because the second you stop paying attention to it, it is going to break free from its cage and it is going to run wild and it is going to wreak havoc on your life. No, it is impossible to completely tame the tongue. He makes that very clear. And I think we all know this. No matter how hard we try, there's going to be those moments where the beast kind of slips out of its cage, right? But the more we can keep that from happening, the better off our lives and the lives of people around us will be. James says, make sure you are on your guard at all times. We should be, I know it's this tiny little thing, but you should be thinking about it all the time. He says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and our Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Out of the same mouth that I praise God with, out of the same mouth that I walk into the church and I sing worship songs to Him with, out of the same mouth that I speak truth to people with. And for me, as a pastor, as a preacher, like this really hits home. Out of the same mouth that I am standing here trying to teach God's word to you with is the same mouth that I use to cut people down, to slander people, to gossip about people, to be rude or nasty to people with, right? And what James is trying to get us to see here is that it should not be this way. This does not make any sense. Why? Because for those of us who are Jesus followers, and I don't know if you're listening or watching what you believe about God or what you believe about the Bible, but for those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, we understand something, that the most important thing to God, more than anything else, is His prized creation. You and me. What He loves more than anything is the thing that He created in His image. He did not create animals in His image or plants in His image. He created human beings in His image. He loves us so very much. And so when we use words that are destructive and damaging to people, it is completely the opposite of what we should be using our words for. And it makes absolutely no sense. He goes on to say this, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? The answer is no, it can't. He says, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Again, No, they're two different things. They're two opposites. He says, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The point is this. We are all guilty of this. Make no mistake about it. We're all guilty of, honestly, this kind of hypocrisy, where we're speaking kind of out of both sides of our mouth. And James wants us to know it should not be that way. We should be fighting with everything we can to keep this from happening. As people who love God, we should love his people. And if we love his people, we should be using our words not to destroy or bring them down or to do damage or destruction around us, but we should be using our words to build them up. And this is the message today. I want you to write this down. If you've got something to write with, if you've got a phone right now or an iPad or whatever it is, write this down. Every word we speak has the power to build or defeat. I want to say that again. Every single word that you speak, every word that I speak, has the power to either build people up or defeat them and bring them down. Why does God care so much about our words and the words that we speak, the words that we say? He cares because our words have an impact. Every word we say has an impact on the people around us. It is either going to be a word that will build them up and encourage them and maybe challenge them to be better, or it is a word that is going to bring them down, that is going to destroy them, that is going to hurt them. And God cannot stand this. He cannot stand it when we as human beings cut down and destroy his creation, the thing that he loves most. As Jesus followers, the words we speak, they should always aim to build up. That's it. That's the message. Like, every word we speak, if it is not being used to build up, then we should not be saying it at all. And that doesn't mean that we can't speak the truth, right? Sometimes we have to speak the truth. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is speak the truth to challenge somebody, to try to help them be better. But we always have to do it in a way that is gracious, that is kind, and that seeks to build people up. If our words aren't building, then they're bringing people down. And this is exactly the opposite of who God wants us to be and who he's called us to be. I love how Paul puts this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. This is such a powerful, powerful verse. And it's a verse I think we should be clinging to every day as we think about the words that we're using. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening. In other words, if it's not edifying, if it's not building them up, don't say it. If you are not thinking about their needs and what they need and what will help them, then you need to. And as you think about the words that you're going to say to people, you need to be thinking about their needs. You need to be thinking about what benefits others. And so here's my question for us today. Because this is the question, really, that we have to wrestle with. How are we using our words? I mean, really now. Come on. We got to really take the pulse of where we're at. Like, we gotta be able to admit, okay, Where are the areas in my life where I am using my words well? And where are the areas in my life and the people in my life where I am not using my words well? We need to be honest. In our relationships, whether it's with your spouse, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, with your child, with somebody that you work with, how are you speaking to them? And are the words that you're speaking, are they building them up? Are they encouraging them? There's this thing in Scripture, in Galatians, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are your words full of those things? Are they full of love and kindness and patience and peace. Are you the type of person who speaks peace and speaks joy into people's lives, who speaks love and kindness into people's lives, who speaks with gentleness? That's a real struggle for me. I don't know about everybody else, but I want to speak the truth, and I want to get my point across, and I want to make sure they know exactly where I'm coming from, but I don't speak it with gentleness. And I've heard this said so many times, but you can say all the right words, but if you don't say it the right way, it doesn't matter, and nobody wants to hear what you have to say. And so again, my question to you is this: as you do a kind of a test of your life, look at your life, where are the areas in your life where you know that you need to change your tongue? That you know you need to get control of your mouth and your tongue, because you know that it's been doing damage. Right now, something's coming to your mind. Right now, I've got something in my life. There's a specific situation right now where I know that my words are not helping, they're not building up, they're discouraging, and they're cutting down. And it has to change. Why? Because God's people are too important. He loves his people too much for us to treat them that way. We must seek to build them up. And so here's my challenge to you today. Before you open your mouth, this will change all of your relationships. I promise you this. Before you open your mouth, you need to start to ask this question: is what I'm about to say going to build this person up or tear them down? Start asking that question. In every single time you feel the temptation to speak, ask yourself that question. Is this going to build them up, or is this going to tear them down? There's another verse in James, chapter 1 and verse 19. He gives some really practical advice, and I want to share this with you. This is something that if you will begin to think of this every single time before you begin to speak, I promise you, it will change your relationships. It's James chapter 1 and verse 19. It goes like this. He says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." You want to talk about some of the most practical truth you will ever hear for your life. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Can you imagine how your relationships would change? How your marriage would change? How your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your coworker or the random guy at the grocery store? How would your life change? And how would the impact that you have change because you began to do that? Quick to listen. Listen first. Speak slowly. Think about what you're going to say. Think about the implications it has. Is it going to build them up? And then slow to become angry. This will change your life. This is the practical truth of Scripture, of James. And he's trying to get us to understand just how powerful it would be in our lives if we would take it seriously and begin to live it out. Every word we speak has the power to build or defeat. Every word we speak has the power to build or defeat. You know, I don't know where you're at in your life as far as how you're using your words. Maybe some of the difficult relationships that you have in your life right now because you haven't been using your words well, but here's the last thing I want to share with you. And honestly, maybe it's the most important thing. Is that we have this God who loved us enough to send his son, Jesus, into this world for us to cover all of the words and all of the mistakes that we would make in this life. And I think about Jesus' life. I think about when he came into the world and the way that they mocked him, the words that they used to ridicule him. And I can't help but wonder, wow, Jesus, in spite of the fact that I used my words on a regular basis to hurt you and to hurt people around me, you love me enough to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for my sin, for my words that I've been using. And even though I will never be able to perfectly tame my tongue, you cover me. And so I know somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to hear the good news of the gospel, that Jesus loves you and cares about you and wants what's best for you. He died for you. And yet, at the end of the day, what he also wants is for you to take action now moving forward. Jesus has done this amazing thing for us. And now from this point forward, here's what I want for my life. I want to honor him. I want to bring him glory by using my words to tell as many people as I can about Jesus and to build people up. And so if you're a Jesus follower today, that's my encouragement to you. Every day, use your words to build. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've never made a commitment to follow him, maybe today is the day. If you want to do that, we are here for you. We will walk alongside of you. We will show you what that looks like. And we would love the opportunity to do that. And so today we're going to close. I'm going to pray. And then in a moment, we're going to go into a time of just singing here. And we're going to sing a song back to our God. And I encourage you, just take a moment here to sing, to reflect on his goodness, and to think about the words moving forward that you are going to choose to use in this life. Because it is going to have an impact, either for the good or for the bad. Let's pray. God, we love you. I thank you and I praise you for your goodness. I thank you for the cross and for Jesus and how he, in spite of all of the horrible things I've said and done in my life, you love me anyway. God, I pray today for the people who are listening to this that their lives might be dramatically impacted, that the trajectory of their life might be changed because they begin to recognize the power of their words, to use their words to build up in their families, in their jobs, and every person they come in contact with. God, I pray that over us today, that you and your Holy Spirit would just help us to tame that tongue, to control it as best we can, God, and we'll give you the glory for how you do that in our lives. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, guys, you have a great week. So good to be with you once again, worshiping with you, and we'll see you soon.